Good morning. Welcome to Westminster Presbyterian Church in beautiful downtown Nacogdoches, Texas. I am Dr. Sharon Templeman, and I am filling in for Reverend Howard Reed as he is out on study leave. We pray that he is safe and that his time is productive and nourishing for him. Join me in the call to worship. Lord, you have welcomed us, saying, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. Lord, you have promised us, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Lord, you have blessed us, saying, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Lord, you have humbled us, saying, I will proclaim my holy name in your presence. Lord, show us your glory. We worship you. Let us pray. God of grace, you have made our minds, so help us to know you. You have made our hearts, so help us to love you. You have made our voices, so help us to sing your praise. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, so together we may celebrate your glory and worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Lord says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Let us now confess our sin, casting ourselves on the promised mercy and compassion of God. Join me in the prayer of confession. The Lord reigns. Majestic God, do we tremble in awe before you? The Lord reigns. Worthy God, have we raised your name in praise? The Lord reigns. Sovereign God, have we executed justice? The Lord reigns. We bow before you, holy God. Forgive us, cleanse us, free us. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, amen. The Lord said to Moses, there is a place near me where you may stand upon a rock. When my glory passes, I'll put you on a cleft of a rock. I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Beloved ones, God has shielded us, covered our sin with the hand of protection. As we hide ourselves in Christ, the rock of our salvation, amen.
Thank you.
Jesus invites us to render to God things, those that are God's. Trusting in God's infinite care, we ask you to give to God's work by bringing your contributions and God's tithe to our church office or online, as you can do that, on weekdays, or you can send it through the mail. Let us pray. We trust you, Lord God, to multiply the blessings our gifts represent as we pour your love and grace on those who long to hear your word to them, to see your power at work within them, to feel your comfort beside them through the generous gifts of your Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalm 96, 1 through 9, and 10 and 11. I read from the New International Version. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and glory in his sanctuary. Ascribe, assign, credit, attribute, chalk up to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading is from Matthew 22, 15 through 22, and that too I will read from the New International Version. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying your tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. Let us pray. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. As I began to work on this message for today, there was news of two militias plotting to capture the governor of Michigan while overtaking the government of that state. All the strategizing and scheming went on at the same time when we were still suffering and are suffering from COVID-19 that robs us of so much, even time with our own families. Meanwhile, our economy is unpredictable. Our environment is screaming for attention as we endure the busiest and most destructive hurricane season in years. Devastating fires are burning thousands of acres in our western states. Political and racial unrest is fomenting around the nation, and we hear of insecurity in our impending election process. I prayed to our Lord for wisdom and guidance on how to bring good news with all of this happening this morning. And then I read our scripture, Psalm 96, 1 through 10, that I read just a couple of moments ago. It calls us to sing a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Has there ever been a more critical or compelling time in recent history when we have longed to hear a new song? Although we don't know this for fact, this scripture is generally attributed to David, a shepherd boy, who rose to be the most famous king of Judah. I want to read a part of that scripture again, this time using Eugene Peterson's The Message version. Sing God a brand new song, earth and everyone in it. Sing. Sing to God. Worship God. Shout the news of his victory from sea to sea. Take the news of his glory to the lost. News of his wonders to one and all. For God is great and worth a thousand hallelujahs. His terrible beauty makes the gods look cheap. Pagan gods are mere tatters and rags. God made the heavens. Royal splendor radiates from him. A powerful beauty sets him apart. Bravo, God, bravo. Everyone join in the great shout, encore, in awe before the beauty, in awe before the might. Bring gifts and celebrate. Bow before the beauty of God. Then to your knees, everyone worship. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Historically, this psalm was used as a celebration at the new year by the Hebrew people when they came together to worship, to renew their covenant together, and celebrate the presence of God in their lives. They came from all directions, from 12 tribes, to assemble at the temple in Jerusalem. By celebrating the identity of their God, they simultaneously celebrate their own identity as a covenant people through the poetry of the psalm, honoring God of creation and God of history. And yet, they have to be on their P's and Q's at that time because things were not going so well in their nation. And if they traveled, they had to be very certain that they were safe in order to worship God. While our current risks are different from those of our Hebrew brothers and sisters of that time, we too are having to make drastic changes in so many arenas of our lives to develop what we now call our new normal. That's probably Webster's word of the year. And for us, this includes how we worship during this pandemic. We worship with the help of Michelle, Kevin, and Noble, hold Sunday school classes, Presbyterian women's studies, youth fellowship, session meetings, and Soul Sisters and Theology on Tap, both of which include members of the broader community. And we do this all through email, Zoom, Facebook, and YouTube. These are just a few examples of the changes we are making to accommodate this pandemic. We owe Debbie, Jimmy, and our choir members, who are often our university students, and on occasion Myra and our handbell choir, a debt of gratitude for how they faithfully and so beautifully bring psalms, or songs as David calls them, to our ears and to our hearts. Just as Nicholas did so exquisitely a few moments ago. Music in our worship helps us to define who we are, both as individuals and as a community of faith. It helps us express emotions when we cannot find words or notes to express those. It allows us to put aside our differences and to be united through rhythms and words. Music tears down barriers between generations and traditions. It uplifts and strengthens the pulse of a community. Of course, not all songs are accompanied by music. I am an America That's Got Talent devotee, and maybe some of you are too, budding artists with so many different talents, compete for the number one spot. I was brought to tears when, for the first time in the history of the long-running program, the winner of the most recent competition is a poet. Brandon Leak is a 27-year-old African-American husband, father, teacher, motivational speaker, and Christian disciple. His poems are modern-day psalms, songs without music or accompaniment. You may want to check him out on YouTube, but if you do, I warn you, you may want to have some tissues nearby. He's very, very emotional. The true definition of a song in our psalm scripture goes beyond what we typically think of as a song, with musical notes, sometimes with lyrics, often with accompaniment of a piano, a band, or a choir. With masked faces and social distancing, our church family actively use our hands to be the song of God in our community. For example, Nancy formed and works diligently to support the 21-7 organization that helps and brings together people of all colors. Terry and Kathy and Joe Bill and others volunteer, including Howard, at Love in the Name of Christ. We provide and deliver food to families in need through Project Hope. Patricia helps others keep physically fit through spin classes. These are just some of the songs that we are, as a church family, singing to bring the good news of love to the lost, the needy, and the weary. But does this mean that we can pat ourselves on the back, say, attaboys and attagirls, lean back in our recliners and say, job well done? I don't think so. David implores us to sing a new song. Could that song be the song of finding joy in hidden, different, or unfamiliar places, even among turmoil and unrest? I believe that is what David says and means when he says to celebrate. Despite our struggles, we are still motivated to praise God in song and worship in new ways to nudge spectators and awaken sleepers. No wonder the psalm brings with imperatives. Three times we are told to sing, and after that to bless, to tell, to declare, to ascribe, and worship, to proclaim God's mercy and might in fresh new ways. I'm not naive. I'm not saying that change or singing a new song is easy. Hear what a couple of worshipers in other congregations had to say when they wrote to their pastor about new songs that were being sung in their church congregations. The first example. I am no music scholar, but I feel I know appropriate church music when I hear it. Last Sunday's new hymn, if you call it that, sounded like a sentimental love ballad one would expect to hear crooned in a saloon. If you insist on exposing us to rubbish like this in God's house, don't be surprised if many of the faithful look for a new place to worship. The hymns we grew up with are all we need. This letter was written in 1863, and the song that he was concerned with was "Just As I Am Without One Plea." And another said, "What is wrong with the inspiring hymns with which we grew up? When I go to church, it is to worship God, not to be distracted with learning a new hymn. Last Sunday's was particularly unnerving. The tune was unsingable, and new harmonies were quite distorting. This letter was written in 1890 about the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, which still appears in our hymnal. Music creates the perfect example of how sometimes it is difficult to blend the God of creation and the God of history. One pastor's grandmother, who was a very accomplished pianist, used to always say to him, that stuff your generation listens to, that is not music. Have any of us ever said that? Busted. Whether or not we like to embrace change, we all know that it is coming to us, to our families, our communities, our world, and to Westminster Presbyterian Church. The changes that David implores us to make in Psalm 96 are not just in our music, but also in our worship. David sounds serious at a time when we as a church family are considering how to hold in-person worship and are seeking a new pastor. We are on the cusp of a new song, a new chapter in our lives as a church, not forgetting our rich history, but building on it to write new verses. We are at what author Malcolm Gladwell calls a tipping point, or what composers call a segue, a time when we transition within our historical song to move smoothly with the Holy Spirit as our conductor from one musical number, theme, or era without pause. We are fortunate to have Reverend Howard Reed to keep us in tune and on tempo. Now is the time to decide what Westminster Presbyterian Church's new song will be and what it can look like and sound like. The pastor nominating committee is hard at work reviewing pastor information forms of ministers who are seeking new calls. In the process, we ask ourselves, do we want anything about our song to be different? We have a rich history of music, worship, mission, evangelism. With a new pastor, do we want to sing our same traditional song? Do we want a more contemporary song? Do we want to explore new songs? Do we want to completely change our song as a church family? Do we want to combine the old with the new? Do we want to sing Just As I Am? Or perhaps we might want to sing I Can Only Imagine As Mercy Me Sings. Have you considered what song is best for our church family and community? Are you making your wishes known to those who are leading that committee? In the past, we considered establishing a diaconate where deacons expand pastoral care. It has been several years since we have had dinner groups. We also had a separate Action for Peace committee to focus on social justice issues. While the committee is now an arm of the Evangelism Committee, it is less active than when we held it as a standalone committee, where we sponsored movies, discussions, groups, invited guest speakers, and had projects to feed families in need. How will we jumpstart the Vital Congregations initiative that we have joined, that has essentially been put on hold since COVID crisis? Some PCUSA churches are establishing what they call Matthew 25 congregations that focus on building congregational vitality, dismantling structural racism, and eradicating systemic poverty. As we prepare to sing our new song at Westminster Presbyterian Church in the beautiful Piney Woods of East Texas, let us be courageous as we journey forward. both in our words and in our steps. Let us not be afraid to take risks and to admit our failures. Let us be honest with ourselves and with the people around us. Let us celebrate who we are and who we may become as God's people who exemplify the body of Christ with righteousness. Or, once again, as David says in Psalm 96, this time verses 12 through 13, again from the Message, let wilderness turn cartwheels, animals come dance, put every tree of the forest in the choir, an extravaganza before God as he comes to set everything right on earth. Set everything right. Treat everyone fair. Amen. And now let us profess what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the everlasting, life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, you are a God who knows when we do not. We pray for new life where the way forward is unclear. The majority of people living in the United States and around the world are anxious about the upcoming election. We know you understand the needs and the fears that bring some to rage and violence. But God of peace, we ask that you cultivate our hearts to turn our fears and rage into hope, empathy, and a desire for understanding. We desperately seek to look each other in the eye and see them as your beloved children. Yet, left to our own devices, we cannot do that, Holy Spirit. We need your help in this. Change us from inside out. Lord, we pray for those who are hurting. This year has not been easy, and we pray for everyone at home and around the world who has been affected by this severe virus. Heal the sick. Comfort those who mourn the loss of loved ones, and the many who are terrified as they see their friends and family on ventilators. Comfort and heal those in our church family who are named on our prayer list and those who are confined to their own homes. We pray that people may be more compelled to take this virus more seriously. People's lives are at stake. Keep giving us reminders to care for the vulnerable, even when it is inconvenient for us. We pray for those who sleep on the streets and those suffering from mental illness, where peace is elusive and joy is not easily found. Grant them new life by alleviating their pain. Send them compassionate listeners to respond and walk alongside them with patience. Give us your spirit to help support them and organizations that help them. We pray for those looking for employment. May you open up workplaces that bring financial stability in place where people's gifts and talents are used for good. Lord, we pray for our leaders here at home and around the world. Help them lead with hearts and minds focused on peace, justice, and a climate that is healthy and sustainable. Protect those who are enduring or misplaced and those who have lost family members in the fires in the western states and tornadoes in other states. Thank you, Lord, for creating us, for caring for us, and for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go out now in joy. Be an example to all, empowered to love the unlovable and forgive the unforgivable, in the grace-filled name of Jesus Christ. May we sense the inexpressible awe of God's glory passing over us, and may we rest in the peace that passes understanding now and evermore. Amen. Thank you.